Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Good morning, everyone who, good morning, everyone who is listening to us here on the LMB Radio Network. I do need some more coffee. I thought I had enough, but apparently I don't. But thank you guys for listening. Always this time, every Friday, we bring you these fun and crazy shows. And today is a really fun show. Talking with two guests. I don't think I've had this much fun chatting with guests in a long, long time, but I usually do every week. But these two are exceptionally funny today. First guest, we have a lot of show to get to, so I'll get right to it. First guest is Doug Williams. No, not the former NFL quarterback, not Doug Williams from the world famous gospel group, the Williams Brothers. This is Doug Williams, the stand-up comic, and he's a comedic actor, and he is the creator of the First Amendment stand-up comedy series. Remember when Martin Lawrence Presents First Amendment stand-up comedy? Well, Doug is the creator of that whole show, series of shows, and started last Friday on the Urban Movie Channel. They have Fall Out Friday. So since today is Friday, you can listen to it and watch it. Go to urbanmoviechannel.com because they have a new streaming service that they're offering for a limited time for 14 days, a free trial. The free trial is for 14 days. Go to urbanmoviechannel.com and you can try it out. They're streaming African-American films and documentaries, comedy shows, sitcoms, all of it. And you can test it out for 14 days free of charge. And then afterwards, the introductory monthly rate is only $2.99. Can't beat that. You can't even get a snack pack on nowhere for that. First things are first. Go try it out, urbanmoviechannel.com, for all of the details. And take advantage of watching their Fall Out Fridays. Just gut-wrenching funny comedy that we enjoyed, stand-up comics that we've enjoyed. And I know you'll love it. Your kids will probably love a lot of that they can watch if they're, you know, of age appropriate, of course. But anyway, that's our first guest. And our second guest is Eric Badlands Booker. Eric is a professional competitive eater. Now, we've all heard about the Nathan's Hot Dogs, the annual Who Can Eat the Most Hot Dogs contest that they just had about a week ago. Well, Eric is one of those people who competes and sometimes win, and you know, and they eat like 50,000 hot dogs in 2 seconds and stuff. But Eric is going to be competing this coming Sunday in Knoxville, Tennessee, along with Joey Chestnut and all of these other guys and gals who are professional eating people. This is a sport now. And this is going to be Sunday, the 2015 Hooters Worldwide Chicken Wing Eating Championship. Yes, in Knoxville, Tennessee. And so Eric is going to join us shortly to tell us all about the world of becoming and being a competitive eater. And it's pretty fascinating. I really enjoyed talking to him and just learning a whole lot of new cool stuff. So we'll be chatting with him shortly. But first, let's get to stand-up comic producer and writer Doug Williams as he chats with us about this brand new streaming service from the urbanmoviechannel.com. And we are going to have a lot of fun talking with him. Give it a listen.
Okay, Doug. How? It's so nice to chat with you.
It's so nice to be chatting with.
Yeah, well, hey, you're a funny guy. Been out here on the funny scene for a while. Man, you're just staying so consistent. And I know
all praises due to God for that. I have to give God the credit for that. But go ahead.
Well, hey, you better now, because you are a Southern Alabama young man, and we're Southerners here now.
That's right, the Bible Belt, baby. Represent, baby, baby.
Representing hard. So tell me, a lot of comedians are going to be listening to this interview that I know personally, and they're trying to get to where you are. In addition, obviously, to your strong faith, what other advice or tips would you say to these guys?
You know, to believe in yourself when all seems bleak, when nothing seems to be going your way, believe in yourself. The greatest people that have emerged to go on to become legends were people who believed in themselves when no one else did. When you look at Michael Jordan recently, Stephen Curry, in the NBA Finals, these were people that were told that for whatever reason they didn't have the talent. And look what they have been able to go on and accomplish. So the belief in yourself is paramount. You have to believe in yourself and your abilities and have the vision to see what's at the end of the finish line when nobody else can. Mm-hmm. And for me, that belief was instilled from God. Because when you believe in God, you believe in the unseen. To believe in God means to believe in the unseen. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. So when you believe in a higher power like I do, in God, you're automatically trained to have those qualities.
Absolutely. I feel like I've been preached to, and I'm saying amen. Okay? It's true, though. It's very true. It's very true. And only if people have lived through experiences and overcame them, as obviously you have, you can say that with confidence. So that makes sense. Totally.
Absolutely.
Well, now, the new urban, I should say the new digital urban movie channel has launched the Fallout Fridays comedy specials going on here. So tell us about how your part in all, how you're going to play into all this.
Well, I have, it's an honor and a privilege to represent this historical channel and this historical event in terms of Fallout Fridays. I have been chosen, and like I said, it's an honor and a privilege to promote this. And one of the things that will be airing, one of the programs that will be airing on Fallout Fridays is the First Amendment Stand-Up. And that's a show that I created, I host, and I produce. And a lot of people don't know this, but I'm the first African-American to ever create, host, and produce a stand-up comedy series that has that ran four or five seasons or what have you. So that's historic in itself. And it's funny because that we're matching history now. I'm historic in that sense, and the Urban Movie Channel is historic in the sense that it's the first of its kind. And I feel like it's important to note that this occasion, because we don't have anything right now where you can go and look at urban programming 24 hours, anytime, any place, anywhere, movies, documentaries. For the first time, stage plays, the popular stage plays are going to be streaming or what have you. So this, I'm so excited about this because it's personal to me, but because the first time minorities are going to be able to see themselves in all facets of the entertainment industry. And I don't know if you've been keeping up with Hollywood, but there's pretty much almost been like a blackout.
Oh, yeah.
We're very limited, you know, with what we can watch and what we can see. And it's important to a generation that our kids are able to see us in all different kinds of light. And this network is giving not only African-Americans, but minorities as a whole, the opportunity to have a feeling of self-worth, because as you know, our culture and our heritage is so rich in all aspects of America and for that matter, for the world. So it's important that we push and we promote what this station, what this network is doing and how it's changing the game in urban entertainment.
And I've That is so well put. And one of the exciting things, aspects about it, on your behalf too, is that you are now known in front of the camera, but now having created this whole project, you're getting that power, and you're getting that behind the scenes, the creator of executive producers type status. And that's so important because it's a powerful decision-making position. And I just love that too.
It really is. And now, you know, coming from that with the First Amendment, it's important that we know Bob Johnson and his creation. This is his creation, and we see what he's the founder of BET. You see where BET is right now.
Yes.
BET is now a household name, and this is his new baby. And he's rapidly making this become a household name or what have you. He's always been at the forefront of urban themed films and projects, and now this is his baby, and this is the new thing. Mm-hmm. And people can go to urbanmoviechannel.com, and you can stream it anywhere, anytime, any place. These are going to be feature films, comedy specials, documentaries, and Fallout Fridays is a portion of that. And every Friday, you're going to be able to, because we look at Friday as really a haven or almost like a finish line for the week.
Yes.
You know, you go through stress at your job. You're driving now. You got to pull over or what have you. Well, Friday has always been synonymous with coming home, kicking up your feet, and enjoying yourself at home or whatever place or safe haven you make it. So with Fallout Fridays, you'll be able to go home or at mama's house or what your wife's house, your girlfriend's house or with your wife's family, and you can stream this entertainment 24 hours whenever you want to do it. And I feel like it's going to give people that stress relief that they need.
I agree, because we not only do we love to laugh, but we need to laugh right now. Oh, my goodness.
Especially, you're right. You are so right, especially in today's times, you know, with everything that's going on. When you shut the door, you just want to lock the outside world out. And right now, you can't turn on the news.
Mm-mm.
I mean, they might as well call it the bad news.
Yes.
You might as well put bad in front of every news channel or what have you.
Yeah.
Well, urbanmoviechannel.com is good news. This is the good news channel because you can come on, you can laugh, and you can escape all of those problems that are waiting for you when you walk out the door with society.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, since you have had success with creating, you know, one project and it's just running and it's doing well, are there plans for you to create other television or film projects that you're working on, or what?
Right now, my wife and I have a production company. It's called DNA Media Productions, and we just finished shooting a pilot that we're going to be taking out, and then we're going to be shopping or what have you. And see, that's why it's so important to have urbanmoviechannel.com, because I have taken projects out before, and you take them to different networks. They don't know your history, your background. They don't know what's funny or what's entertaining to our people, so they close the door. And that's why you don't have any urban programs on right now. Well, now we have a hub. We have a place where, you know, up-and-coming producers, up-and-coming filmmakers, they can take their product. They can take their pictures. And you have people now that can sit on the other side of that desk and listen to what you're saying and understand it and relate to it. Because everything in this country, everything in life is about being able to relate.
Yes.
What people can relate to and what they can't relate to. That drives sales in this country. So we have a place now. I'm so excited about this. We have a place now that we can come where people understand our vision. They understand our plight. And that's important. And that's groundbreaking. And the beautiful thing, and I want you to note this, the beautiful thing about UrbanMovieChannel.com, they're offering a free 14-day trial. You can go on and try it out for free. 14 days, and then after that, the introductory rate is only $2.99. You can't beat that. When you look at some of these other companies that are offering similar services or whatever, you got to pay $8 a month for just one portion of it, then you got to pay $8 a month for the other portion of it. This is $2.99. For $2.99, you get to stream this unlimited. I think that this is going to be revolutionary. Like I said, it's the first and only digital streaming channel that's out. And I'm just so excited about it for us.
Oh, man, $2.99. You can't even get a two-piece snack pack for that. You can't.
You know what's crazy about that? When you look at, and here's what, and you should know this, but here's what's great about All Out Friday. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I live in Los Angeles, and it's pretty much similar all across the country. If you want to take your date to a comedy club, mm-hmm. when you finish paying for parking, when you finish paying for the 2-drink minimum that they're going to definitely require,
yes.
the ticket price, you spent $100. Well, on Fall Out Fridays, you can come and see these same comedians that are in the comedy clubs, their same uncensored act for 14 days for free, and then $3 after that. This is so date-friendly. You grab your girl, you get the TV, you stream right there, you get some popcorn, you buy some liquor or whatever. Babe, it's the same jokes we would have seen for $100 a night, you're seeing for $2.99.
That's right. That is so true.
Hey, you got to economize in today's society.
Yeah, that is so true. You know, you got some people, maybe they just get out to join or something, and they still want to go on a date and go over to the house. You're right. It just is. I love that. I just love that. Wow. Well, somebody came up with a great idea on the prices, right, for this. I mean, $2.99. If you don't want to pay $2.99, you're real cheap. You really are.
Yeah, right. See, yeah. And what people need, you need to jump on this now because, this is going to be a law network. So we're going to look at all the people who came first.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is synonymous with when you talk to the all of these big cable companies or what have you. The first thing they do is they look at your history, how long you've been with them. And if you've been with them for a long time, they say, well, we can do this for you, we can do that for you. Jump on this now so when the price does increase, if it increases, we'll be able to say, hey, you've been with us for a long time, you're a loyal customer. And we're going to look out for it. You get the hook up.
That's it. That's it. Loyalty. Well, you know, I won't even say these hoes ain't loyal. I'm not going to even say that. I really.
That's hilarious. You are hilarious.
I'm not going to say that. But I get what you're saying.
Let me say it for you.
Go ahead.
These hoes ain't loyal. You're tied down by your job. I'm not. That's the beautiful thing about UrbanMovieChannel.com. I can say whatever I want to say. Come on, sis.
Okay, y'all. Doug said it's that.
The First Amendment to the fullest.
Doug said it. I just laughed. That's all I did. Oh, my God. We are awful today on the parking lot. Well, Doug, this is something I've been wanting to ask you forever. When you first started out in comedy, did people get you mixed up with Doug Williams, the football player?
You know what? What's funny about that is that still happens sometimes to this day. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me. Uh-huh. I was flying in to do this gig. They had a white limousine driver to pick me up from the airport, and he thought that he was picking up that Doug Williams. He had a football, all these things for me to sign. And I can't tell you the disappointment in his face when he saw it was me. I mean, he damn near refused to give me a ride. You can't be Doug Williams. I am. I had to show him my driver's license. Dude, I'm the Doug Williams. Not that I'm a comedian, but I'll still sign your football. It'll still have Doug Williams on it. So, yeah, I still get that.
Well, have you had a chance to meet Doug, the football player?
No, you know what? I haven't had an opportunity to meet him. I've been in the same city and at some of the same functions or what have you, but I haven't had an opportunity to go up to him because, you know, this thing is getting crazy now. They got a Doug Williams, a gospel singer, so it's just too much to
compete with
his name. Now, had I known this, I would have come up with a stage name.
Exactly. I forgot about the Williams brothers, Doug Williams. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
See that? It's just Doug Williams all over the place. I have to carve out my niche. You know, those guys have taken away. I mean, that's why, you know, for my Twitter name and for different names, I have to put Mr. Doug Williams. I am Doug Williams. This Doug Williams, you got to put all kind of stuff on front of it now.
Well, you know what?
You need to hold on to it.
Hey, you know, if people want to name their sons out there and look like you have guaranteed success with the name Doug Williams, hey, there it is.
Well, I gambled on that because I named my son the third. So,
see?
I mean, we got another one coming. I'm actually a junior. My father's name is Doug Williams. I'm the junior, and then we got Doug Williams the third coming right behind me.
Oh, wow. It's a winning name. Maybe I need to remember that. Well, Doug, I got a couple of last questions here. What?
Hey, go ahead. I'm having so much fun with this. Take your time. Okay. You're in the parking lot where you might get robbed or anything, right?
No, I'm on speaking of, you know, we're talking about First Amendment Fridays and all that. I'm on the parking lot of a Fridays. How appropriate is that?
Okay, great. They normally put those up in pretty safe areas.
That's right. That's right. Well, now, okay. When you want to be funny, and I would say want to laugh is what I should say, who do you listen to for you want to just say, I want to laugh at somebody, comedy-wise?
Well, you know, you have the obvious. I love Red Fox. If you go back and listen to some of Red Fox, some of the albums he put out, because the guy put out so many albums, his showmanship and the way he was able to tell a joke, hysterical. And then obviously there's Richard Pryor.
Oh,
those
yes.
are people from the past. But when you talk about current people, I love Chris Rock. Just, you know, thought-provoking. Even now, you know, they're showing some of his footage of when he had his show about going to South Carolina trying to get the Confederate flag removed. So this is he's one of my top guys that I love to listen to and I love to laugh at right now. And those were guys from the past.
Those are some very good names. Very good. Yeah, Red Fox. You're right, Doug. I think these guys I was talking about earlier who are going to listen to this and they're up-and-coming comedians, that's a good tip. Go look at, you know, Red Fox and Flip Wilson and those guys. Those guys had it down. Of course, Richard Pryor is my, oh, please. But, yeah, that's a good selection. good selection. Well, you know, I grew up in Texas. You grew up in Alabama. We're obviously deep Southerners, deep South Southerners. When people hear states like Mississippi, Alabama, they always think about, Alabama, Mississippi. What's funny about having grown up in Alabama? Give me some funny stories about your childhood growing up in Alabama.
Well, you know, growing up in Alabama, to me, and I always say this, you know, with funniness behind it, is you kind of grew up in a bubble, in a vacuum, if you will, because when I was growing up in Alabama, you didn't have to, you know, and I don't want to date myself, I'm not that old, but it was about community. You didn't have to lock your doors. We went outside and we played. You just told your mother you were going outside. You had to, as long as you were home by the time the street light came on, you were good. You know, I mean, we just grew up in such a hospitable place that, you know, it was just, you know, if you messed up, your neighbor could spank you. You know, I mean, it was a village type of effort or what have you. And it's not like that anymore. And now in raising my kids, I see so much of a difference to when we were coming up. You know, you have to monitor them. You know, people are putting dog collars on their kids. Now, people are walking their kids like you walk dogs.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I mean, when I think of Alabama, I just think of wholesomeness, innocence. And I'm sure you feel that way when you were coming up about Texas or what have you.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lost art now. And when we were coming up, it was automatic that you said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, ma'am, no, sir. And that's gone now, and I'm having to fight with my kids to teach them those values, too, because I live in Los Angeles. So to instill how I came up with them, especially in this big city, it's hard. It's very hard. So I don't know if I directly answered your question, but the thing that's synonymous with Alabama to me, spankings, being home by the time the street light came on, and just a good solid upbringing, and that seems lost today.
Oh, it is lost. I'm with you. I'm glad to hear you're one of those parents that still believe in the art of spanking. I mean, it didn't kill us. We're still here.
They've taken that away from us. They have disarmed us. So when these, and think about it, these are kids that are going out creating these heinous acts, these shootings, these bombings, these are kids or whatever, which says to me that we've gotten away from how we came up. You had to be in church.
Yeah.
And if you didn't go to church, you had to have a good excuse as to why you weren't going to church. And whatever excuse you had, your mother would make you prove it. If you said your stomach was hurting, she'd be like, prove it, grow up. And if you did grow up, she'd be like, now don't you feel better, let's go to church. So either way it goes, you were going to church.
Yeah, you had to be almost on life support to miss church.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, almost flatlining and everything. Yeah, I know. I know how that is. You really did. I'm glad you're not one of them timeout, Timmy, type parents because, oh, I can't stand that stuff.
We knock our kids out. That's, it's the same thing as timeout. You give them that time, but it ensures that they're not going to do it again.
Oh, that is
timeout. To me, timeout beckons repeat offenders.
Oh, my God. That's a good one. That's a good one. Well, let me ask this last question here. Okay. What topic-wise for you, when you do your comedy, what's funny? What topics? I mean, some of them are just obvious. But what usually do you pull from this? Oh, I know I can just run with this one.
Relationships.
Ah.
And the constant battle between men and women, because we have, you would think, as long as we've been on this planet with each other, dating back to Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. we would have learned and figured out something about the other thing. We know nothing. We have been in existence for all of these years, and we know nothing.
Still.
And there's no class, no book that can teach you how to deal with the opposite sex. So most of my stuff deals with relationships and understanding, men understanding women and women understanding men. And it's universal.
It is.
I'm met with the same success whether I'm in front of a black audience, white audience, Asian audience, and all others in between. As long as they can understand English, they can understand what I'm talking about.
So in the battle between men and women, who's leading right now? What's the score?
Women are crushing us. Women are completely crushing us. There's an old saying. They say they have half the money and all the coochie. So that's a women combination right there.
Half the money and all the coochie. I'm going to remember that one.
Let's get one more question and then let's close out this interview.
Okay. Well, okay. Doug. Oh, Doug, I'm going to let you. What should I ask you, Doug? That's for you.
Well, I just want you to do this. I want you to make sure that you promote this channel or what have you, because everything that we talked about, people can come and find on this channel, urbanmoviechannel.com. And it's important that you let people know it's a free 14-day trial.
Okay.
It's $2.99 for the introductory price. It's the first and only digital streaming channel. And I want you to put down these things to let people know how they can join in on the conversation. You can follow the urbanmoviechannel.com at Instagram. It's at WatchUMC, at WatchUMC. You can follow them on Twitter, at WatchUMC, and the hashtag UMC Fallout Fridays. On Facebook, it's the Urban Movie Channel. And then I'm going to be jointly working with them to put out the content. So please let everybody know they can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Doug Williams, that's MR, Mr. Doug Williams, and at Instagram, Mr. Douglas Williams. See, I have to put all these Mr. stuff on everything. And then on Facebook, Doug Williams fan page. I just want to say this has been one of the most entertaining and fun interviews that I've done. You are terrific. You have a beautiful spirit. It precedes you. Keep up the energy and stay positive like you are.
Oh, Doug, that is so nice of you. I just am naturally nosy. And, hey, anybody who used to work for the National Enquirer better have a good energy about them. But I'm just saying, it has been so much fun talking to the Doug Williams that makes you laugh, not the football thrower, not the gospel singer, the one that can make us laugh. Thank you
so
much.
Please note that on the interview that it was Doug Williams, the comedian.
The comedian. The
gospel,
the gospel singer. Okay, well, we got it. Well, Doug, we will see you on TV. That's where we're going to see you.
That's right. UrbanMovieChannel.com right now.
Okay.
Everybody.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doug. Be blessed and be safe. Thank you, everything.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. We had too much fun. Yeah, I really did talk to him. I was sitting on a parking lot. That was just yesterday, less than 24 hours ago. And he was, God, I mean, he was just so funny. Because that's what he does. He makes people laugh. And oh my God, I think we were really cracking each other up there. But again, go to urbanmoviechannel.com. Take advantage of their Fallout Fridays. Just bust out gut-wrenching laughter, you know, Friday night. Like he was saying, it's a good cheap date if you don't want to go out. Get your pizza, order it, your hot wings or whatever, and just laugh at home. Take advantage of the free 14-day trial that they are offering, urbanmoviechannel.com. Take advantage of it. And I know you will definitely enjoy it. And again, Doug Williams, not the football player, not the gospel singer, but the comedian. And he's also the creator of the First Amendment stand-up comedy series that was such a big hit a few years ago. Well, okay, we're going to quickly shift gears because we got another guest. He's going to be talking a long time too. And we're talking about professional eating competition guy, Eric Badlands Booker. You can go to his website, BADLANDS, booker.me. And Eric is one of those people who is, you know, competitive eating is now a sport. I didn't know it had gotten that big, but it is. It's like all over the world now. And Eric, as I said earlier, he is going to be competing along with Joey Chestnut, who seems to always beat him in these eating competitions for the Nathan's hot dog eating contest and so many more. But these guys are going to be competing along with, it's going to be 12 of them in all on Sunday, the 12th here at the 2015 Hooters Worldwide Chicken Wing Eating Championship in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're in that area, it starts at 4 p.m. Central Time, 12 eating professionals, amateur people, and it's going to be something. And it's all you can eat contest of chicken wings. The record is 200 wings. And so you got to beat that record if you're thinking about going to do this. Well, Eric is going to talk to us about what does it take to become and compete in these competitive eating contests. I'll just quickly tell you, Eric is, this is partial list. He's done 50 mini cheesecakes in 6 minutes. He's done 49 glazed donuts in 8 minutes. He's done 4 pounds of corned beef hash in 1 minute and 58 seconds. So yeah, he knows what he's doing with the plate and the knife and fork there. So without any further delay, and I don't want to, you know, make anybody you know, sick or anything. Say, oh, how does he eat all that? Let's listen to a real professional eating competitor. Eric Badland, here we go. And, you know, by the way, let me quickly tell you this. Eric didn't just start this. He's been doing this since the mid-90s, and he's been on Wife Swap and Jay Leno's show when he had it, and Letterman and Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon. He's been all over the place, national TV shows, local TV shows in the New York City area. So he has become quite a celebrity with his competitive eating, and we're going to find out everything that you thought you wanted to know about competitive eating right now with our next final guest, Eric Badlands Booker. So let's roll it with Eric.
This is a real honor to talk with. So your stage name is Badlands Booker. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
And how did you get that name?
I actually got it in 2001. I was reading an article in the New York Post leading up to the hot dog eating contest, in which, you know, there were an article, you know, leading up to the contest, and Shigeru Kobayashi was coming. Of course, that's the gentleman who ate 50 hot dogs and, like, pretty much revolutionized the game. Mm-hmm. So I was one of the top Americans leading up to that contest, and I read the article, and it said Eric Badlands Booker and stuff. I pretty much was named that. And after a few years, it kind of stuck. You know, people started calling me Badlands, so I decided to run with it.
Well, I think it's quite appropriate. It's a good, flashy, fun name, and it's doing good for you here. Well,
yes.
it's been a few days. The devastating loss to Nathan. I mean, how does it feel? You know, to have that loss.
Well, Nathan's, you know, it's a good time, you know, win, lose, draw, pretty much. But, you know, it's kind of tough, you know. Things wasn't working out the way I originally planned, but, you know, I just kind of pretty much just learned from the experiences that I had and, you know, the shortcomings I have, pretty much look at the tape and then, you know, figure out what I did wrong and then come back stronger next year.
Okay, so when you look at the tape, what is one or two things that you think you did wrong?
Well, I know that I had problems getting, like, I'm sorry, I'm in a subway. It's kind of noisy.
Oh, that's okay.
I have problems, like, you know when you eat a lot of hot dogs, right?
Yeah.
It's like, if you have, like, a little bit of air that's pushing down,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you get in your stomach. And so, you know, it creates a sense of fullness. So, basically, I had to adjust. You know, like move, like shake my body and try to move the air around my stomach so I can take the air out
and
use that room to fill with more hot dogs. So that wasn't really happening until, like, I say about the 8th minute, it's into the 10-minute contest. And so by the time, you know, that happened, it was kind of too late. But, you know, I'm figuring that, I'm going to have to try to learn ways of how to, you know, get the verbs out, I should say.
So how many hot dogs did you eat that day?
I ate 24 and a half in 10 minutes.
Whew.
And I believe I placed ninth.
Okay. So,
yeah.
You know, when you have these, I call them the eat-a-thons. When you have an eat-a-thon contest like this, how long does it take you? How many days does it take you to want to eat another hot dog again?
Oh, I could eat one the same night. Oh, hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I could probably eat one, like, you know, that night. It really, you know, I like hot dogs, so
uh-huh.
It really doesn't matter whether I had a contest or what.
Goodness. So,
that doesn't matter to me.
But you've been doing this a while. I mean, how did you get started, you know, with these contests like this?
Oh, how did I get started?
Yeah.
Well, 18 years ago, 1997, I did my first Nathan's Qualifier in Long Island, Oceanside, New York. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it wasn't as well publicized as it is now. So I pretty much found out about it by visiting the Nathan's, because it was pretty much my local Nathan's. I would take my kids there. We'll have a hot dog fries, and they had a big arcade, video arcade in the back, so we'll play a few games and stuff. So one day I come in, and I see a poster with Uncle Sam on it, with a friend in his hand, mm-hmm. saying, you know, I want you to enter the Nathan's Hot Dog Contest. So I knew of the contest because, you know, it will come on, like, you know, during the nightly news on July 4th. So I figured, let me see how I do, you know, once I, you know, did this mm-hmm. contest. So without any training, I just pretend I was at a big barbecue. I ate 17 and 12 minutes to win. And when I won, you get a, you know, when you win, you get a seat at Nathan's in Coney Island.
Yes.
Because everybody's here on ESPN at Coney Island. They had to qualify somewhere in the country. And so you get a seat there, you get a trophy, and you get a year supply of Nathan's hot dogs. So I was doing it originally for the hot dogs because, you know, they give you 480 links. I mean, I was the go-to person come barbecue time. I would give half to my family, and I would keep half, so.
So you could probably down that yourself by yourself in a matter of what, days or weeks?
480? maybe in 6 months.
I mean, you're a pro at this, man. So okay. Okay, when you go to friends and family when it's time for holidays, do they, like, put out extra plates for just for you? Or what is that like?
Oh, no, I could definitely separate normal, casual eating, you know, eating to sustain life with sport. So I don't need to, like, at a barbecue, I don't need to eat, like, 10, 20, 30 hot dogs.
Okay.
I could be happy with two, you know, actually put mustard and all that stuff on it, you know, actually enjoy them a little bit more. And instead of, like, you know, doing it for competition. So, yeah, I could separate sports with, you know, normal, life, casual eating. So, if that's no problem.
Well, now, when it's time for a competition, when do you start training? I mean, how do you train for this?
Well, you need... in my opinion, you need four things to do well at any eating contest. You need stomach capacity. Uh-huh. You need a good eating strategy. You need a nice amount of stamina. And you also need a focused mind. So pretty much, I train all those, just those four facets. Now leading up to Nathan's, I usually start training about a couple, 2 months in advance for that. You know, I pretty much get my stomach capacity up by eating a lot of vegetables.
Vegetables?
Because like cabbage or stuff like that. Anything, you can use anything to get your stomach used to, you know, ingesting large amounts of food. You don't have to, you know, eat hot dogs like twice a week. You know, so it's like, you know, some people train different. Some people, you know, drink lots of water. Some people eat lots of vegetables, eat salad. Some people drink soda. There's a lot of different ways you can train your stomach. But me personally, I like to eat a ton of cabbage. You know, it's low fat, and it has the mass and the weight that I need in order to get a nice effective stretch.
Okay, so when you say eat cabbage, so do you boil, cook it, and what are you talking, 2 or 3 heads of cabbage per day?
About 3. You know, I usually do cabbage training like 3 times a week. You know, probably about 3-4 heads of cabbage. I cut it up. Mm-hmm. I throw a few smoked turkey wings in there.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, just season up real nice. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I may have a little bit of rice with it, but not too much rice. But mostly, you know, I'll cook up about a good... You know, at least 10 pounds of cabbage, at least 10 pounds.
10 pounds of cabbage.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hold on a second.
No, that's okay. This is an education here for me. Because I just often wonder
when I don't have time to cook up the cabbage, you know, I'll probably drink a lot of water, you know. It's pretty much getting your stomach, your stomach's a muscle, just like a bicep, and it's muscle memory. It's not actually stretching. It's actually just having your muscle remember the time when you ate a lot of food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you keep training it, and your stomach adapts to holding that much food. So when it comes contest time, you can actually eat that amount. So...
Wow.
That's the capacity, and then pretty much you got to have a good eating strategy. Mm-hmm. You know, you figure out what works best for you. You know, as far as hot dogs, you can eat them picnic style, which is regular. Should you dunk the buns? You know, dunk the whole hot dog and bun? Mm-hmm. Should you separate hot dog and buns? You eat the hot dog first, then soak the bun, you know? But it works best for you. I approach that like a boxer. You know, pretty much I study what everybody else is doing. And then I try to apply it to my game, and then I come up with a conclusion.
So,
go ahead.
What's your eating strategy? For you, what do you put the bun and the wiener together, or you separate them, or what's your strategy?
I do what's called the double Japanese. I take two hot dogs without the bun. I eat those first, and then I dump two buns at the same time, and then eat the buns as they're wet. You know, one at a time, and then I repeat. You know, it pretty much is the quickest way to do it because you get the bun to the right consistency, you can actually, you know, it's easier to eat than just having it dry.
Okay. So have you ever gotten sick doing these contests?
No, I've been doing this so long that I don't get sick. I'm and my stomach is cast iron. I've been with 18 years, so I don't get sick anymore.
What about indigestion?
Like my first year, I got a little queasy.
Uh-huh.
But no.
Okay, what about indigestion? No.
No, I don't have no indigestion. I don't have no acid reflux, none of that. I'm fortunate.
You really are.
I have all that.
You really are.
It doesn't matter what I eat. You know, hot foods.
Uh-huh.
You know, meaty foods. You know, leafy foods. It doesn't matter. I'm pretty much an omnivore.
Well, being a professional eating person. What is your favorite food to eat when you're not competing, you're at home? What do you like to just say, hey, this is my go-to meal right here?
Well, I would say I like spaghetti. I've been asked that question a lot. I'm not really sure, but if you judge by what I cook, see, I do a lot of cooking.
Okay.
And, you know, I always cook spaghetti most of the time, you know, so I would say spaghetti.
Okay.
Spaghetti with a nice meat sauce.
Okay, so now you are married and you're a father. What does your wife and your kids think about this, what you do?
Oh, yeah, my wife's very supportive. You know, she's at, you know, mostly all the big content that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids are supportive, too. You know, they help me, you know, with everything that's around the eating. Like, I also do a little bit of rapping and stuff like that. So my sons, you know, they help me with the production of the music and taking pictures and stuff like that. And so yeah, my family has been very supportive from day one.
Have they expressed an interest in following in your footsteps on this or what?
No, my son wants to do everything except eat. They don't want to eat. They were like, you go ahead and you do your thing. We'll support you, but you do the eating. You do the hard part.
Well, now, what do you have to say for people who say, oh, man, all this eating, you got high cholesterol and blood pressure, but I understand that you also are, you're a martial arts expert. So what do you have to say about that?
I'm also a what expert?
A martial arts and was it karate, judo?
All I have to say is it's just like any other sport, you know. You know, competitive eating, you don't, I'm not doing competitive eating like twice a day or three times a day, you know. It's like you have to, you know, I know we're doing the eating a lot in a small time frame, like 10 minutes. You know, competitive eating contest for us happens like once or twice a month. And you have to be pretty fit at a certain, you have to be pretty fit in order to do competitive eating at a high level. You can't be out of shape. You can't be, like lethargic, tired. You have to be fit. I mean, it sounds crazy, but competitive eating is more the internal sports. So you don't see what's going on, but there's a lot of things going on inside the body.
Mm-hmm.
When we do these contests, you know. And it's like you have to be pretty fit. You gotta have your stamina up. And as you notice, a lot of the top, the really top echelon individuals, they're like 100 pounds. They're like really fit.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
So it's like, you have to be pretty fit. So that's why, you know, I'm staying in the gym. You know, my wife's got me in the gym. You know, and I'm eating right in between contests,
mm-hmm.
so that I can compete at a high level when it comes time to fame and fortune.
Well, I have a couple of last questions here. Sunday, you're going to be in Knoxville for the Hooters Worldwide Wing. That's a mouthful. Hooters Worldwide Wing Eating Championship. Okay. The record is almost 200 chicken wings. How many so far in your career, how many chicken wings have you eaten?
Well, my best is 191 in,
whoa.
In 10 minutes. So.
Okay.
So yeah, that's obtainable.
That's obtainable. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand there's going to be 12 eaters, including you. Anybody in particular that you're worried about that's you know, saying, I got to give that guy the side eye? Any name in particular?
Well, Joey Chestnut, he's a great eater. I mean, say about Joey, he's the hardest working man in competitive eating. And you know, he has drive, he has skill, he has stamina, he has capacity, and he has great technique. Mm-hmm. So you know, Joey Chestnut is one to consider. Who else gonna be there? Juliet Lee is pretty decent, but I think I can take her. Who else? One more, Bright Rodriguez. You know, he's an up and coming guy, very fit guy, has you know, great techniques. So that's what I look out for. Okay. But you know, I just gotta come there hungry, focused, mm-hmm. with my technique sharp, and you know, my mouth ready to devour wings, and I think that I will prevail. I will definitely get in the top three, if not number one.
So the day before the contest, do you just not eat that whole day before, or how, so you can be extra hungry, or what?
Well, for this contest, this is a technique contest, you know. Uh-huh. It's chicken wings, you're not really eating. It's not like hot dogs where you have to train your stomach and not eat for 3 to 5 days, mm-hmm. you know. So it's like, you know, it's more technique. So I probably won't eat that morning. Okay. And that afternoon, I'll probably have just protein shakes.
Okay.
I'll definitely eat the night before.
Oh, okay.
You know, but you know, but that morning, and you know, that morning and that that afternoon, I probably won't. I probably just have protein shakes.
Okay.
If this was hot dogs, I'll probably wouldn't eat for like 3 days leading up to the contest.
Oh, so that's another thing. So you, when it's the hot dog stuff, you just don't eat for 2, 3, 4 days. And then on day of, right. You are extra hungry. Oh,
right, because if you got to take into consideration, like if I was to eat 30 hot dogs, you know, that weighs up to like about, that's like 15 pounds of food, you know, mm-hmm. where if you eat 200 wings, you know, that'll go come out to like about 2, 3 pounds. So. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't really have to, you know, train their stomach that much. So it's more about techniques. Mm-hmm. Who has the best technique, you know, in a wing contest? You know, who has quick hand to mouth, can wing the mouth dexterity, as okay. I would say.
So do you train people? Do people come to you to train them how to do these eating contests?
Do I do what? I'm sorry.
Do you train people on how to win and compete in these eating contests like this?
No. There's no real school of competitive eating or stuff like that. But I mean, if there's an up and comer that's getting into competitive eating, just starting, mm-hmm. maybe I'll give them a few tips. You know, but I'm not going to really like. Pretty much, I'm not going to be like their, how can I put it, they're Mickey, you know, I'm going to be like, you know, like they're Rocky and I'm Mickey, you know, I'm not going to be like that.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's because, you know, it's competitive eating, you know, I don't want to train them and then they beat me.
Then they beat you, right. So,
you know, that's happened plenty of times. My wife teaches me that.
Okay.
You know, like, you keep telling all these eaters your secrets and then they teach you, you know. Over the years, but yeah, I mean, I am one to help the, you know, help the, you know, an eater coming up.
Okay.
I'll give them a few tips, you know, pretty much just give them, how can I put it? You know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I show them a few things and then let them run with it, you know what I mean?
They'll let them take it from there. I understand. But over the years, you've traveled in other countries and competed, haven't you?
Yeah, I've pretty much been all over the world, you know. Well, mm-hmm. MLE has been all over the world. Major League Eating has been all over the world. I mean, they've been to, Singapore, Japan, all over. Shanghai, they've been to Europe, Ireland, Canada,
yeah.
Australia, New Zealand, everywhere.
Yeah, amazing.
And, me personally, I've been to, like, I've competed in Maui, I've competed in Canada, I've competed in the Caribbean, and all over the U.S. and Canada, mm-hmm. so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely, the sport is definitely international, you know, and we've been all over. We've been to Singapore, Everywhere.
Well, my last question here. I saw where some of the TV shows, I see where you've been on Wife Swap. What are some other shows you can tell me you've been on?
Well, I've been on all the late night shows as far as like Jay Leno. I've been on Jimmy Kimmel. I've been on Carson Daly. I've been on, what's the Tonight Show? What's the new Tonight Show with that guy? I forgot his name.
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, I've been on Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
Been on David Letterman before he retired.
Yeah.
Been on Good Morning America, Today Show, all those morning shows and night shows. I've been on a few, a few smaller shows, cable shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been a lot of TV, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the Shea brothers who run Major Eating. You know, they have an incredible PR game. So it's like they know just how to market, you know, the sport, you know, where to go, and you know where it's like where we'll shine the best. And it's like, yeah, I mean, we've been all over, you know.
That's
promoting
amazing.
The game and.
That's
all
amazing.
Good.
That is so amazing. Well, I tell you, I have learned something here. I really have. This has been so educational for me. I really appreciate it. I just, you know, I've seen you guys, over the years, and they'll say, well, this year's winner of Nathan's or, you know, whatever. But I had no idea all of this input went into it, Mr. Badlands. I just didn't. This has been so much fun. I hope you win Sunday in Knoxville.
I'll do my best.
And if you don't, which I doubt, what's next for you? What's the next competition after then?
I think my next one would be gyoza in Los Angeles. Gyoza is like a Japanese noodle. It's like a small dumpling.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, some people call them pot stickers.
Yes, pot stickers.
So,
yes,
yeah,
I love those.
That's the next one.
And so how many contests do you do per year, average?
I do about 15 a year.
15? Oh, my goodness.
Major League Eating, they do about 80.
Ooh, that's
a
lot.
But I do 15.
The sport has, it's just become so popular. And it just amazes me how, you know, the crowd shots, people really turn out. I mean, if it was in my city, I'd be right there just for the fun of it. I keep saying this is my last question, but I just always have another one, as we can see. But over the years, has it amazed you how popular and how much the audience and the crowds have grown?
Yeah, it has. I remember when there was like, you know, two contests a mm-hmm. year, you know, no money and no publicity.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen it grown to like, and as far as like getting in the contest. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second.
Okay. It amazes me. It just amazes me how popular this all is now. And this guy, this is a brother. He is competing. He has won, and he's been doing it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've seen it grow for like one or two contests to like, it's hard for people to sign up. I mean, like, mm-hmm. you could just walk up the same day and just get in to a spot where it, you know, if the registration comes and you're not signed up by a certain time, you get waitlisted, you know.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's getting really popular, which is awesome.
What are the odds, or has there ever been talk, I thought I read this, and I may correct me if I'm wrong, of you getting a reality show or something?
There have been projects that I've been, you know, considered for, but... You know how that, I mean, pretty much how that goes, unless it's green-lighted, then you never really hear about it. So, yeah, there's been things I've been considered for, but I guess we'll see what happens, you know.
Well, you definitely have the personality for it, and you've really got a lot of national TV street cred behind you, all these hot hit shows, I'm trying to say, that you've already guested on and been on, so... I'm just going to, I think it would be a lot of fun to for you to have a reality show so people can see your everyday life with your family and how you train for these competitions. I think it would be so entertaining and so much fun. So if you have an agent or manager or something, I would stay on them about getting me a reality show. I think you should.
Yes, I appreciate that. I'll definitely have fun doing it.
Yes, and you have such a great personality. Well, anyway, Mr. Badlands, Sunday, you chicken wings got a date, and I'm going to be sitting by Monday morning waiting to see if you bring home the crown. What do they give you, money and prizes and a big chicken wing crown or what?
They give you a big trophy, and the first three people who qualify go to the finals, which is held at Tampa, Florida, which is where Hooters is based.
Yes. Okay. So if you win Sunday, you go on to Florida.
Right. It's for the finals, where we buy for like an $18,000 purse.
Oh wow! Yeah, it's worth it. And then next competition is the pot stickers in LA. What month is that?
That's in August.
Okay. And
okay, we are out of time. Totally out of time. Actually, that interview was about to end in another almost minute. But we want to thank both of our guests, Doug Williams, not the football star, not the gospel singer, but the comic from the Urban Movie Channel, for being our first guest. Make sure you go check it out. 14-day free trial, urbanmoviechannel.com. Streaming of all kinds of great African-American films, comedy shows, documentaries, it's all there. Check it out, urbanmoviechannel.com. And of course, we want to thank Eric Badlands Booker, professional competitive eating champion. He's going to be in action in Knoxville, Tennessee on Sunday for the 2015 Hooters Worldwide Chicken Wing Eating Championship. And he's going to do some pot stickers eating championship somewhere in LA in August. So listen, we are out of time for being our guests, Doug and Eric. And of course, thank you guys for listening to us on this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you guys on our next show this time next Friday. Great. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.